Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. A majority of Massachusetts voters want to see the state's sales tax reduced to 3%. It's an idea that the president of the Mass Taxpayers Foundation, Michael Widmer, says would be unwise. Here he is on WBUR.
There would be an utterly catastrophic impact on the programs supported by state government and local government. The timing couldn't be worse from the point of view of state finances. Revenues have already dropped more than $3 billion.
That's one of the stories we'll be covering in today's conversation about the week's news. Also, the new Beige Book report on the economy shows Massachusetts in a stronger position than the rest of the country. And more trouble for the state auditor. Joe DiNucci was charged yesterday with ethics violations for hiring a 75-year-old cousin to work in his office. Listeners, what's your big story from the week? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or comment online at wbur.org/Boston. Joining us to talk more about the week's big stories is Renee Loth, a columnist for the Boston Globe. Welcome back to Radio Boston, Renee.
Thank you.
And WBUR's business and technology reporter, Kurt Nikisch. Thanks for joining us, Kurt.
Sure thing.
Let's start with this new State House News Service poll that finds that a majority of Massachusetts voters, 54%, support the idea of rolling back the sales tax to 3%. It's an idea that all four candidates for governor reject. That's a rare agreement among all of them. Question three on November's ballot would direct the state to reduce the sales tax, and that would result in the loss of more than $2 billion annually from state coffers. But this poll shows that support for question three is trending upward. Now, we just heard from Mike Widmer of Mass Taxpayers saying that a tax rollback could not come at a worse time for state government. But it seems voters are saying it couldn't come at a better time for their pocketbooks. So, Kurt, is that how you interpret this? And if so, is that a result of the bad economy?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they are answering that way right now to this poll. And of course, election time is the chance for them to be able to sort of exert their will and ask for change. I think you may see a different result in November because they're going to be electing electing governors. There's also another tax measure on the ballot that would cut the sales tax on alcohol only and not sales tax across the board. So I think, you know, over the next seven or eight debates, when we hear all the governor candidates say, no, this is a bad idea, and they're faced with those two questions, I think you're more likely to see the alcohol tax cut, but not sales tax cut in half.
You know, Renee, it looks like you have something
well,
to add.
Well, I agree with Mike Widmer that this rollback would be a reckless and irresponsible idea and shouldn't be adjudicated on the ballot anyway. I mean, you know, that complicated tax and budget policy should not be decided by ballot measure. But the one thing that I hate more than ballot questions is polls about ballot questions. Because I have to say, I've looked into the internals of this poll a little bit, and you know, I love the State House News Service. I think they're a wonderful service. But this poll was of 400 Massachusetts residents, not even registered voters.
Small number, small
registered,
pool.
Not even registered voters. It was conducted during the last 3 days of August, the worst possible time to get any kind of reliable reading on the public. It has a very high, you know, margin of error of 6% for when you look at the number of registered voters. I think it's, or maybe it's 5% in any case, it's way too high. And I think it's really, you know, wrong for the voters or, you know, we journalists to get too excited about polls at this early stage in the game. And I think that people, as we go into this election season, need to be really skeptical about all kinds of polls.
Fair point. It could be a flawed poll. We don't know that these numbers are correct.
Yeah, Kurt? And I'll point out that this same group had a tax cut measure on the last ballot. The poll indicated it was a lot closer than it was when it came at the election.
So, all right, so let's take all those caveats. But let's say that it's true that taxpayers would like to see the sales tax rolled back. Do you think people just see the higher tax on the receipts and they're annoyed and they actually don't think about what it means if it gets rolled back and $2 billion more are missing? We're already facing devastating cuts in towns. Do people not think about what the consequences are?
I think people need to be educated about the consequences, and I think we'll see that education campaign in the next several months. I mean, it is very much parallel to the rollback of the income tax that was on the ballot a couple of years ago, which did turn around when people started taking a closer look at what it would mean. This would almost certainly mean an increase in property taxes, for example. So it's not like, you know, there's $2 billion worth of waste, fraud, and abuse, even though that's what Carla Howell likes to say. It's, you know, the money has to come from somewhere, and it would end up coming from property taxes.
Right. So you're going to see it somewhere else, if not in your sales tax. We're talking, listeners, about the big stories of the week with Boston Globe columnist Renee Loth and WBUR's business and technology reporter Kurt Nickisch. Give us a call if you want to talk about some news from the week. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. So, Kurt, let's talk about the Beige Book. This is the survey of how the economy is doing across the country. It's released by the Federal Reserve. And that report had some pretty good news for the Boston area and for Massachusetts. It showed growth in information technology and manufacturing here in the state. But on BUR yesterday, economist Alan Clayton Matthews said that Massachusetts could still feel the negative effects of the larger economy.
New England and Massachusetts, both regions export about half the goods and services that they produce. And the main customer is the rest of the country. So if the rest of the country is growing only very slowly, that's going to affect our ability to grow robustly here as well.
Kurt, the only other region that's growing as quickly as Boston is Cleveland. In the rest of the country, growth is slowing. What does that tell us?
Well, it tells us that this region, New England, and that really means Boston, has the sort of goods and services that are in demand right now. That's not consumer products. You know, the consumer economy, I think most economists will say, is just we're over-reliant as a nation on that portion of the economy and need to move in a different direction. And it's that information technology, management consulting, professional services, those are the things where more of the future is, and that's what we have here.
Do you have any sense why Cleveland ends up sort of being ranked up there with us?
I joked on Twitter that, you know, good things come to Cleveland after LeBron James leaves, but I actually didn't look into that region too much.
Yeah. Any idea, either of you, why IT and manufacturing firms in particular are showing growth?
Yeah, I think, you know, this is something that Michael Schrag, a research fellow at MIT, calls the hireless recovery. We always remember that term, jobless recovery. Listen, if you're an employer and, say, on this show you decide you want another producer because the few producers you have work very hard to do the work you do, well, the hiring manager has to think, okay, what's that producer going to cost me? They're going to cost this much now, but next year healthcare costs are going up, and healthcare costs are going up the next year and the year after that. I don't know how much it's going to cost me to hire somebody, and is it worth it? And that's something that people across the country are asking. So instead, they're saying maybe we should buy some new audio editing software that helps people work faster, content management software. You know, they're making those one-time cost decisions to try to work more efficiently and effectively. And those orders are coming into Massachusetts companies. That's why we're profiting now.
That's very interesting. We have a caller who actually wants to go back to the sales tax poll we were just talking about that would roll back the sales tax. Tiffany from Lynn, you have a thought about this ballot question.
Yes. Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I'm actually a faculty member at one of the 15 community colleges, and very recently Commissioner Freeland made a public statement about the chronic underfunding of the public university and college system. And one of the things that happens when we don't get enough money is that we have to pass along the lack of state support to our students. And I think that the ballot question was fought so hard by us that was on the last 2 years ago election and is going to be fought by us again, because we see the direct result as when we don't get enough funding, we have to pass on fee increases to our students. And so this is a kind of connect the dots scenario where if we don't get enough funding, we have to get that money from somewhere.
Good point, Tiffany. It makes public education not the sort of bargain that people had hoped for if they chose to go that route. Renee, any thoughts
about that? It's just a perfect example of what I was trying to say about squeezing the balloon. I mean, the costs will come from somewhere. Fees, fines, user charges, that kind of thing, and or property tax increases, and it's just will devastate the so many of the services that people come to rely on.
Here's a different view. This is Howie from Canton. Hi, Howie. I understand you're for voting back the sales tax.
Yes, I am, very much so. I think it's time. If you look back over our history, 25 years ago, prior to 2.5, People are leaving Massachusetts because of the high real estate taxes and going to New Hampshire. I think the more we give government, the more they take out of our pockets, the more they waste. I'm tired of it. And I think you're going to see this ballot question pass.
What about the point that Renee Loth of the Globe, who's in here, made, which is if it comes out of the sales tax, you might see it in your property tax. Are you worried where else the money gets made up?
You know something? I think she shows the naivete of the Globe. The fact is, I'm a taxpayer. We're all taxpayers. I'm tired of my money going down the drain. I mean, our educational system is supposed to be superb. I don't think it is, unless you have some exceptions. When you have a school in Newton for $247 million, by the time they get through with the financing, could be pushing $300 million. The kids aren't that much smarter. I see so much waste in government. I see the pensions that the Beacon Hill crowd gives themselves. The retirement benefits, I think we're tired of it.
Howie, thank you for that. That's an important view to hear. So, Kurt and Renee, we clearly see that sentiment is out there, and that could, you know, that represents the people who may vote for it. Let's talk about Joe DiNucci. This is the state auditor. Ethics charges filed against him, saying he violated state conflict of interest laws when he arranged to have his 75-year-old cousin hired as a fraud investigator in the auditor's office. The Ethics Commission says the cousin was not qualified for the job. DiNucci's lawyer is Tom Kiley, and he objects to that finding.
Who decides who's qualified for a job? Who elected somebody at the Ethics Commission to make that decision? We elected Joe DiNucci to make that decision.
Now, you know, this certainly doesn't look great for DiNucci. His cousin apparently didn't even fill out the whole job application. There was no open job in the agency at the time he was hired. Renee, in your view, is this blatant nepotism? Or, as I understand DiNucci is arguing, state laws have a loophole for relatives who aren't immediate family members, and a cousin would not be an immediate family member.
Sure, the state ethics laws are filled with loopholes. I'm not going to get this exactly right, but I remember writing about it at one time when you were allowed to hire your brother-in-law if it was your wife's brother, but not your brother-in-law if it was your however your other way you get to be a brother-in-law. You know, so it's filled with loopholes, and you know, so DiNucci may be right on the most narrow point, but you know, DiNucci is an old-style politician for whom nepotism and patronage are not mortal sins. I mean, it's the end of his career. But, you know, he is the state auditor, after all. We're talking about this job that he has. It's supposed to be a watchdog position. It should be held to a higher standard. I think it's DiNucci's troubles here at the end of his career are very bad news for another old-style politician who is trying for this job, who is Guy Glotis, whose ethical foibles were brilliantly summarized in today's Boston Globe by Dan Payne, often a contributor here to WBUR as well.
Absolutely. And it suggests that this may come down to sort of letter of the law versus spirit of the law sort of decision.
That's right.
Kurt, I understand that DiNucci's cousin was a saxophone player, which doesn't exactly sound like the professional background to be a fraud investigator.
Right. I mean, when we just heard the lawyer say that, you know, Joe DiNucci was elected to make decisions, I think people also elected him to be accountable.
Sure. Let's do our Friday hubbub. This is when we talk about one story this week that caught your attention. Kurt, you want to start with you?
Yeah. So this is just in response to sort of the enduring news that keeps coming out of the Cape Wind project. I just got back from a trip to Montana, and I landed in Bozeman, was on the highway pretty quickly, and within 15 minutes, I saw three trucks, semis, each carrying a huge wind turbine blade, oversized load. I haven't seen that in 4 years in Massachusetts.
So clearly this is going on gangbusters elsewhere. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Renee Loth, do you have a hubbub of the week?
Well, just thinking to the primary election, which is coming up on Tuesday, I don't think we're going to have gigantic turnout for that. But in advance of that, the Secretary of State put out his regular voter registration figures. And it was interesting to me to see that the Republican Party has lost an additional 2%. Sort of hard to believe they could go any lower than 13%, but they have. It's only 11% of Massachusetts voters are registered as Republicans now, which seems to kind of fly in the face of what we had been thinking, which with Scott Brown's election and all of the excitement around that, that the energy was on the side of the Republican Party. It seems that the only place where there's any growth is among independents.
Hmm. My hubbub is a much lighter one, and it relates to a trip I made to Walden Pond about 2 weeks ago to take my kayak out. And I was out there in the water. I looked over, and I thought, I think that's jellyfish. And I thought, yeah, that is a jellyfish. And then I just didn't think about it again. Then I opened my Boston Globe today to see a story that I think was on page one, or maybe page one Metro. Mystery blooms on Walden Pond. Scientists puzzled over tiny freshwater jellyfish. So sure enough, these freshwater jellies have shown up in Walden. People aren't sure quite why. Maybe high summer temperatures causing them to bloom. The good news is apparently they rarely cause health problems in humans, so I don't think we have to worry about getting stung if we're out there swimming at Walden.
Wow.
So Renee Loth, thank you very much for coming back to Radio Boston. Renee Loth is a columnist for the Boston Globe.
Thank you. It was fun.
Kurt Nikisch is a business and technology reporter for WBUR. Kurt, thanks to you too.
Great to be here.